Oh yeah, happy Sunday. Welcome back, the Weekend Grind Podcast. We are here back on Sundays for you guys, as we mentioned yesterday. Get your full weekend grind dosage. Very happy to be here. Football now with the Super Bowl coming up. There's no more NFL DFS, so double down on NBA DFS on the weekends, and we got a nice slate here to cover, but let's get to the intros out of the way. I am Josh, Sir Giant, as always, with my co-host, Mr. Chalk, Travis Mangone. Travis, how you doing, man? Happy Sunday.
Yeah, good to be back doing the Sunday pod, and we'll talk about the games, and it's Sundays aren't always the best DFS slates, but hey, still got some to play, so can't complain.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just to have some basketball on Sunday is always nice. Of course, you miss NFL, but it'll come around, and baseball's right around the corner too. Beautiful thing about DFS is there's always lots of action going on, lots of things to get involved in, lots of contests to enter with plenty of guaranteed money. So yeah, go ahead, give us both a follow on Twitter if you haven't already. You go follow me at Real Joshua Giant. That's at Real Joshua Giant. You go follow Travis at Travis Mangone. That's at Travis Mangone. Got lots of compliments lately on the intro and outro music on our shows. It's music made by me, so of course I really appreciate all the compliments. Really means a lot. I love hearing from you guys on Twitter about that, and of course of other things too. If you have any questions, we're doing this very, very early, so there's going to be plenty of news that breaks, I'm sure. And if there's anything that changes anything, we'll be updating you guys on Twitter, so make sure you follow us over there and shoot over any lineup questions you might have. You could also use the comment box down here on the podcast on RotoGrinders if you're listening through the website. I always keep an eye on that throughout the day and try to answer you guys when you ask any questions down there, so feel free to do that as well. But we're going to cover the main slate for you guys. Locks at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Small four-game slate, but a slate nonetheless. There is an early three-day slate. There'll be plenty of content for that on the RotoGrinders page. You go ahead. If you're playing that small three-game slate earlier in the day, there'll be plenty of content for you to check out. So make sure you check out the main page for that. But for the main slate, that's what we'll be covering here. And I think we're ready to hop into the games. What do you think, Travis?
Yep, I'm ready to go and get started.
All right. So the first game on the slate that we'll be looking at, we got the Philadelphia 76ers in Oklahoma against the Thunder. 214.5 is the game total. The Thunder, 4-point home favorites. Now, this is interesting. We got two teams here that certainly play up in pace, and lots of fantasy goodness to be had here. Westbrook, always a guy we want to look at. And the Sixers give up a ton of points to opposing point guards. The one game they played this season, bit of an outlier because Westbrook did play 52 minutes, so I assume that game, I'm sure the game went to overtime. 77 DraftKings points, though, in those 52 minutes. So last time they played, he really chopped them up. I don't see him slowing down. So, he's expensive, but he's a guy to look at here. Ben Simmons also 47.8 DraftKings points in 51 minutes in that same game. And, put up a few, a couple of big games here and there. Been a little bit inconsistent, hit the rookie wall for a little bit, but bounced back with a big 66 DraftKings point game against Chicago a couple games ago. It's a good matchup for him. This is going to be an up-paced game, and I think there's plenty to like here. But, the question is, are we going to have the cap to fit all the guys in that we like? So, Travis, what do you think here in this game?
Yeah, I think it's like every lineup I build is just going to come with Russell Westbrook. I think that's going to kind of be the approach I take on this slate. Like, guards against Philly are just a great spot. Whenever there's a small game slate, I always take Russell Westbrook, basically. Like, if there's like a stud on the slate to pay for, and I think I'm going to have the money for it, like, I want to jam that stud in. I think he's the stud you want to pay for. We can make some arguments later for a couple other guys, but he's currently the guy I'm paying for. If you told me I had to pick one at this time, that's the guy I want. So Russell Westbrook's going to be the guy that I have the most interest in for sure. Paul George, I hate rostering this dude. I did a Twitter poll like this week. It was during when he was busting at the current time, but I was like, do you like rostering Paul George essentially? And it was like 75% like yes, like 25% no, pretty much. I don't know, man. I just hate rostering this dude. His price is 8,200 on FanDuel. I don't know. I just don't really want to pay for him there. 8K2, I get it. The matchup's fine, but I don't know. I just think I'm not going to pay for Paul George. I think I'd rather just find ways to spend my money elsewhere. I get it, though. I don't like playing him much. Same with Carmelo Anthony, too. It seems like the only way he gets there is if he hits like that ceiling from shooting tons of three-pointers, right? Like just kind of like making his shots, getting his buckets. And I'll just bank that he doesn't make those buckets, I guess. I think he's an okay play. I don't hate him again. He's like if he fits in your roster and you like him, sure. But it's just something I don't do. I don't really roster him a ton. It's just mainly Russell Westbrook is my main key guy that I'm looking in on. And then Steven Adams, I don't hate too, but I just think there's other routes I can go at center. So I don't think I need to be taking Steven Adams on this slate. But it's really Russell Westbrook or bust for me. Like that's the Oklahoma City guy I really want. I get it. Paul George, you know, small forward. It's not the, you know, it's a small slate, right? So there's not a lot of guys to just like get in general. And if you can get Paul George in there, sure, I don't hate it, but I really don't like rostering this dude. I don't know. He just seems like he's either like a 30 or a 50 or something like that. I don't know. Just can be very frustrating at times. So I don't know. I'm done ranting about that. It's mainly Westbrook for me. That's my main target. And that's the guy I really like, you know, if you're saying, hey, where do you want your center exposure? It's going to be through Westbrook. And I don't know. I think I can get away with not playing those other guys.
Yeah, I agree. I never really was particularly fond of rostering Paul George since he came back from that leg injury. You know, it's not the same Paul George who was the focal point of his team when he was on the Pacers, and he was literally the only guy they had that could score. I remember it was him and, like, Hibbert down low, you know, were just really working well together back then. But he never really got back to, like, full form. He's had some great games and everything like that. Like, don't get me wrong, the guy's great, but there's a reason why Paul George is only, you know, we only see Paul George chalk nights when he's like, his prices dip pretty low, like in the 7K range, right? Like when he's 8K, like he is now, we don't really see Paul George chalk nights. So I guess in tournaments, the upside's there if you want to go for it, but I just don't see, like, he put up 39 DraftKings points in 45 minutes in the last matchup here against Philly. But I just, you know, once his price starts creeping up like this, it's so frustrating. It's so tilting rostering him because he's so inconsistent. So I think for me, I'm not going to really chase him too hard either. Melo, like you said, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, so I watched him really just teeter off. And he has a few big games here and there, but he's not going to be the Melo that you know, we saw years ago. So like you said, unless he's like nailing threes and like having one of those crazy Joe Johnson games where he just like shows up and hits like 15 3-pointers, you know, he's not gonna give you what you need out of this price tag, even though it is below 7K. I'm just not gonna chase. You know, it's kind of weird for me, you know, to see like Melo, like one of the older guys here, you know, DFS terms wise. I guess I'm an old DFS guy, but seeing Melo like below 7K like 4 years ago, we would have jumped all over that, you know. But different time now. So yeah, without ranting too, like you said, I think that Westbrook is the guy we want to target in this game. How about any interest in Embiid here? You know, we mentioned Steven Adams. Both these teams are particularly good at crashing the glass and defending the rim. So there's going to be nice battles down low. Any interest in paying up for Embiid?
Real quick, I just want to mention Andre Roberson is out in this game, kind of an injury news. So maybe Terrence Ferguson gets some run. And I mean, like, the target Sixers through guard. So maybe you go him as a punt if you need to. But talk about Embiid for a little bit. So it's kind of like, it kind of feels like Steph Curry yesterday, right? Like, I didn't love the matchup. And again, I don't love the matchup here for Embiid, but it's like, if no one's going to pay for him, sure. Like, why not? Again, it's a 4-game slate, so probably not. I mean, I'm sure like ownership's, a lot of people are going to have ownership and whatnot, but, you know, it's not the greatest matchup, and I don't really like targeting players against, the Thunder. Thunder have been really good defensively this year. So doing, but you know, Embiid's a matchup proof guy. I get it. He can have a big, massive game. He has a ton of usage. I don't know. I don't think I'll end up paying that price tag for him. I think I'll find, you know, different ways to spend my money at center. But if you played Embiid, I wouldn't be like, it's a terrible tournament play, because it's just like he, you know, it's a 4-game slate and he's a, you know, stud that can go off in any matchup, right? He's a star. So I don't think I'm too interested in him. Ben Simmons, I'll pass on him in this matchup. Don't think it's a good one for him. No need to play Ben Simmons here in this spot. I do have some interest in guys like the, you know, again, I don't love the Thunder, but I have interest in guys like the Dario Saric's, the Robert Covingtons, right? With JJ Redick being out, it just gives them more opportunities to put up shots and whatnot. So I have mild interest in those guys, right? More of like the, you know, cheaper options on Philly, maybe mix and match them throughout my lineups. Jared Bayless, you know, he might play. If he doesn't play too, that's going to obviously give us some interest in guys like the TLCs and the Justin Andersons possibly too. But for me, it's really mainly targeting, you know, like the TJ McConnells, the Robert Covingtons, the Saric's, mainly those like mid-tier Philly guys instead. I'm not going to pay up for those. You're not going to pay that price tag to go up against that really difficult matchup.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you on that. But I think we talked enough about this here. Westbrook is the guy. Maybe pay up for Embiid if you want to in tournaments because the upside's there, but I'm not going to go out of my way to do it. I do like Ben Simmons a lot in general, but just not on the slate. I'm not going to chase it. I wouldn't fault you if you did, but for me, I'm going to try to spend my cap elsewhere. The guys that I'm really interested in, like heavily interested in here, are all very expensive, you know. So if I'm going to, if I'm paying for Westbrook, I can't just start jamming in Simmons and Embiid too, you know. There's not going to be a crazy amount of value on the slate to where we could do that. So that's where I'm at there. But yeah, anything else you want to cover in this game? We should move on to the next.
No, that's it for me.
All right, next game on the slate, we've got the Los Angeles Lakers in Toronto against the Raptors. 218 is the over-under. The Raptors, heavy 9-point home favorites. Now, Travis, Lonzo Ball, this is where we got to open this one up with, right? So Lonzo Ball doubtful for tomorrow. And that kind of makes a bit of a difference here on this team where the offense really kind of flows like through Lonzo, you know, and he does have a bit of usage that's going to be given up. So what do you think? How do we approach this slate now with Lonzo being doubtful on this game in particular?
Yeah, I mean, we'll know in time, right? 6 o'clock lock. I'm just assuming Lonzo's out. It doesn't seem like he's like on track to play or anything, but who knows, right? Things could change. You never know with the NBA on the weekend. So I'm just going on the assumption he's not playing. And I mean, if that's the case, Brandon Ingram, right? I love him in this spot. I think there's just a good opportunity for him. He put up a ton of shots. Just kind of the ball could run through him. The offense could run through him a little bit more. So I like him a lot. Kind of like Jordan Clarkson, right? I know he's, you know, he's had to show these massive games recently, and the price tag has gone up, and I get it. But I do think, you know, I don't hate paying for Jordan Clarkson here. It's not my favorite spot for him. I'm more so into Brandon Ingram. He's the guy I would really like to get. So that's kind of the guy I'm leaning more. So, but I understand if you want to pay for Clarkson, so you have the money on the slate. Sure, I think that makes some sense. If you tell me I have to, you know, pick one of the Lakers front court guys, like, I think it's Julius Randle. It just seems like they're like, you know, basically showcasing him for trade and whatnot. You know, fills the center position, which I don't love today, too. I'm not worried about Jonas Valanciunas on defense at all. I'm sure Randle could bully him a lot down low. I just think I think it's going to be, you know, Julius Randle and Brandon Ingram are like my two main targets on the Lakers. And then the other guys, you know, you can mix and match some of these guys in tournaments throughout your lineups, but it's really those are my two main targets right now. And I think Clarkson makes sense. I get the Clarkson play. I don't know. It just depends. It depends on what I'm doing roster construction, if I have the money for him. But I do like him in this spot. I think he's a good play.
Yeah, I agree with all that you just said. You know, for me, it's just going to come down to, like, that Lonzo news. If Lonzo's out, like you said, Ingram is certainly a play. I do agree with the Randle play. He does cover that center position, and he's very affordable, has some upside. So I think that he's someone that we could target. You know, it's just interesting here with the Lakers as far as how this is going to handle, how this is going to be handled with Lonzo out. So I think that we should really stick with the guys who are going to get heavy minutes. I think Clarkson will see heavy minutes. I think Ingram sees heavy minutes. And I think Randle continues to get showcased. But that's about it for like my interest in the Lakers side, unless there's anyone else that you'd be into here.
No, yeah, we can head over to the Raptors side of the ball. I mean, this is a team that you would think you'd want to roster against. Like, the Lakers just one of the faster-paced teams in the league. Don't play a ton of defense, so it makes sense to get exposure to some of these guys. I think Kyle Lowry, he's fine. He's coming off two disappointing games, 17.7 fantasy points in 23. Game before that, though, 53.5. I mean, obviously he has that upside. I get it. I don't know if I'll play him today. I think there's, you know, I'll pair Westbrook up with maybe a cheaper point guard, but I don't think he'll end up making the cut for me. DeMar DeRozan too. I just don't like paying that price tag for him. So he's a guy I don't think I'm going to really get exposure to. Just rather find cheaper ways to go. And just the way I'm building, I think I'm going to need to save at those those spots because I like Westbrook. And there's another guy we'll get to. You know, a couple other guys that I like for sure that I want to be looking to roster on this slate. You know, none of those other like Raptors, like the OG Anobis and all those guys, just doesn't seem like guys I really want to play. The main guy I would look at, and he seems like a really good value on this slate. And, you know, I like to play him when he's like trending upward, and he's definitely starting to trend upward a little bit. Maybe we hit that like, you know, big game out of him. It's Serge Ibaka. He's 5,600 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, I believe he's pretty cheap too. He is 5,100, which is just way too cheap for Serge Ibaka. And again, match against the Lakers, pretty good spot. Here's his last, I'll give you five games, 23 minutes, 6.1 fantasy points. Not great. 30 minutes, 14.4. 32 minutes, 21 fantasy points, 24 minutes, 23.6, and then 29 minutes, 24. I mean, trending upward, good match against the Lakers. I like Serge Ibaka. If I play any Raptors, that's the main Raptor I key on. I'm not really a Jonas Valanciunas guy. Rarely play him. I can't explain why he had 61.8 fantasy points against Rudy Gobert. I got nothing there, Josh. Can't explain that one. You know, in Atlanta, he had 47.1. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something I missed, and I'll have to dig deeper and see if I can find something of why he's been doing well. If anyone else knows, please let me know, but I cannot figure out why. So I don't think I'll end up playing him. You know, price is pretty fair, and it's a Laker, so I get it, but maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'll, you know, by the time Locke comes up, I'll find a reason to roster him, but at this point, I'm not finding a reason to roster him. It's mainly Ibaka is the main guy I'm keen on the Raptors.
Yeah, Valanciunas is 45 and 60. I don't know how that happened either, man. That was incredible. I mean, he does pop up with a huge game, but not like a 60-point game, so 14.
And he had Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and 28 points, too, in the last, but he went 12 for 16, too, with his shots, so I mean, I don't know. There was people that threw darts at him and were bragging on Twitter about playing Valanciunas at 2 or 3% owned and smashing with that 60-point spot. But I don't know, man. Like, that was just, I think it was kind of a bad play in that spot. But, you know, sometimes, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? And I don't think this is going to be a broken clock situation where we have to just blindly take Valanciunas and hope for the best. The matchup's not bad against the Lakers, but man, you're not going to get 60 points out on Trunis again. You're not going to get close to that, to be honest. So, when it comes to the Raptors, man, I'm really into Kyle Lowry today. I'm really digging him. Looking at his numbers, you know, even just the last time he smashed 51 DraftKings points in 36 minutes. The last time he faced the Lakers, you take Lonzo out of the equation too. Lonzo's not a great defender, but I mean, their whole backcourt just doesn't defend. You know, so this is an excellent spot here for Lowry. They rank 25th in the league, by the way, at defending opposing point guards, the Lakers, that is. So Lowry, great spot, positive matchup. Price is down, and recency bias is going to keep his ownership down, I believe. So I'm going to take a ton of Lowry today. And I don't mind pairing him up with Westbrook and trying to find value elsewhere. I really do like Lowry's price tag a lot. DeRozan, I'm not going to chase so much because he's over 8K on both sides, so While he's certainly in play, and I will probably flirt with the idea of correlating the two. I'll have to fade Westbrook if I do it, but maybe correlating the two with Lowry and DeRozan in my lineups for roster construction purposes. And Ibaka, like you said, Ibaka's in a good spot, trending up, price is good. So I wouldn't mind some Ibaka either. He does feel a little bit cheap. So if I have to, like, you know, fill in the power forward position on FanDuel where I'm forced to roster two and he's that cheap and, you know, helps me get the build I want to get, then I don't mind rostering Ibaka here. So that's about it for me. Anyone else in this game you want to talk about?
No, yeah, I think that's about it for me. We can move on to the next one.
All right, next game on the slate, we've got the Detroit Pistons in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. 216.5 is the game total. Cleveland's an 8-point home favorite. Feeling like this is a spot where Cleveland's going to bounce back and just smash. Can we just take a second to talk about Andre Drummond, man? Like, oh my God, that game was incredible. You know, like, Boogie put up a big game, too, and then Drummond comes out and puts up 83 DraftKings points, 30 points, 24 rebounds, 6 blocks, 4 assists, 3 steals. He even took a 3-pointer. He went out there and shot a 3. If he was feeling himself, you know? So, you know, Drummond, again, not a bad matchup here. The Cavs rank 25th in the league at overall rebounding, 29th in offensive rebounds. They really give a lot of rebounds away after their shots. So is there anyone, like, you know, on the Cavs that's going to be able to cover Drummond? Like, is Kevin Love expected to keep up with Andre Drummond here?
Well, Kevin Love won't be on him. You know, the Cavs changed up what they did. They started Tristan Thompson the other day, you know, so Tristan Thompson's going to be in there and starting. He's going to be a guy I target. 31 minutes the other day, got a double-double, 10 and 10. 25.5 fantasy points. I think Tristan Thompson for basically the min. Like, I'll be getting exposure to him for sure on the slate. He'll be the value guy I want to go to. The problem is, and it's kind of similar to this last slate, right? I'm assuming people are going to go back to Will and Tristan Thompson. And what was the thing people did yesterday? They all paid down for point guards, right? They paid for Terry Rozier. You know, all these other cheap point guards, right? The Darren Collisons. There was a bunch of guys that were cheap that people went to. And then what happened was, Steph Curry went out and had a massive game, and you had that Steph Curry, right? And that was kind of how the tournament winning lineup is. So I don't hate the idea in tournaments of paying for Andre Drummond. Again, on like DraftKings, you can play two centers. You can play Tristan Thompson and run it back with a guy like Andre Drummond. I think Andre Drummond could absolutely crush here. Like him more on DraftKings where he's 9,900. He's 10,800 on FanDuel, which feels a little pricey for me. But again, it's Andre Drummond, and this guy's been so good this year. So, and this is a great matchup. Cleveland doesn't play a ton of defense, so I think there is reasons to pay up for him in tournaments for sure. But I really do think Tristan Thompson will just be that value play that people just eat at that price tag and kind of start paying paying up for raw points, right? It seems like that'll be the route people take. Again, that's why I could see myself, like, if I was playing cash games, which I don't think I'm going to, because it's not the greatest four-game slate, and I don't really think I want to play cash games on this slate. But, like, I could see if you play Tristan Thompson, you kind of fall into, like, a Paul George eventually, right? Like, you just fall into these, like, raw points kind of plays. Again, it just also depends on how value shakes out and whatnot. But I do think Andre Drummond, you know, long story short, I think he's a really good tournament play that you definitely want to pay for, and I like him more on DraftKings. If you look at some of these other guys, like, I like Tobias Harris a lot here in this spot. I know Tobias Harris, I believe Tobias Harris and LeBron don't like each other, so I don't know if there's, like, a narrative there for them to, you know, they're going up against each other and they want to go after it. But I like him just because of when Reggie Jackson's out. I mean, he sees a nice usage bump. I think he's a nice, you know, guy to roster at the power forward position, so don't mind going that route with him. I think he's a fine play. Langston Galloway randomly got the start the other day. You know, don't know why, but he got a start at some point. I don't know where it was, but I remember seeing that. And here's his minutes the last, you know, the last, I guess, five games. Give you 24 minutes and 25 fantasy points, 11 minutes, 6.7, 21 minutes, 24, 20 minutes, 13.4, and then 13 minutes, 9.2. You know, we like to target the Cavs with point guards. If Langston Galloway gets the start, I mean, it could be a value that we want to, you know, play on this slate. It's not my favorite play, but I think it's something to just consider and just be monitoring throughout the day. And if you need value point guard and it kind of jumps up, I think it makes sense. And obviously, Ish Smith, right? If he's going to get the run, you got to like him, because we love targeting against Isaiah Thomas defense. He is very poor defensively, so he's someone that you want to be targeting. Same with Avery Bradley, too. Like, again, he can have nasty game logs. Like, just, I'll just read them to you. It's not pretty. 9.9, 13.4, 8.7, 19.1. They're not the greatest, but I mean, he's really cheap around the industry at 4,900. And on top of that, it's the Cavs, right? This is like the team that just is really bad on defense, and you can kind of like fix your game against and get going. So I think most of the Pistons starters are in play, mainly because it's the Cavs and they're just not that great defensively. But yeah, it's, you know, long story short, I like a lot of these Pistons, and I think they're good guys that you can just like mix and match throughout your lineups, kind of.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is like where you're really going to get some fillers here in your lineup. I think that there's plenty of mix and match guys here you could just kind of grab and go with. I do like your point on Tristan Thompson. He's, you know, they have to use him. You know, what they've been doing hasn't been working, so they have to figure out how they're going to start making things change around, you know, the rotations and whatnot. I think putting Tristan at the five and starting him there is certainly the right thing to do. They need to have a big man presence. So if he's going to go out there and get minutes, especially they're going to need him out there against Drummond, like you said. So at 4,400, it's going to be hard to pass on DraftKings, especially on a slate where the center position is fairly, you know, fairly thin. I think he's like super cheap on FanDuel too, right? He's 3,600 on FanDuel. I mean,
that's he's 3,600.
Ugh, like, how do you not? You know what I mean? How do you not play him?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's gonna play, right? It's Andre Drummond in there. Like, if the Cavs were smart, like whenever they had a matchup against like a team that, you know, goes small, then put Kevin Love at the five. Like, I don't know why they have to just like have this set five that always runs. Like, let's be innovative and kind of change things up. Like, against Andre Drummond, put Tristan Thompson in there. You know, match up with him and try not to get destroyed down low in the paint, basically.
Yeah, it's like baseball, you know, you got a lefty on the mound, you're going to adjust your lineup, right? If you got a righty on the mound, you're going to adjust your lineup to fit that. So I don't see why basketball, they wouldn't just do the same thing, like, you know, why Cavs wouldn't just adjust, but I don't know, they're figuring things out over there. But yeah, Tristan is a great great value play on this slate for sure. Didn't really hear you talk too much. I don't think we talked about Cleveland too much in depth, but like, do you play King James on the slate here?
Yeah, so I really didn't touch on them a ton, just about the Tristan Thompson thing. Yeah, so the Pistons are really bad. Not to cut you off,
but he absolutely smashed the last time they faced each other. Like, he put up 38 DraftKings points in 27 minutes. So if he
it's the Pistons, right? They're not really good at defending the three. Like, they're like bottom three. They've been bottom three all year. They've been floating around there all season. Like, they struggle against defending the three. Like, and LeBron is now at the three. Like, he is going to be there at this time. I don't know. I'm sure maybe they'll try and like do their best to double team and whatnot, but this is LeBron James. It doesn't matter. If you can pay up for him, I would pay up for him. I don't mind starting your lineups with like on a FanDuel, like a Westbrook, LeBron James, and Tristan Thompson, and seeing how you can make it work. I don't know if it will work, but I kind of just plugged it in now. And, you know, at least you with 5,567 seems like a really good cash game kind of build, right? That's kind of something I was thinking. So yeah, I don't mind starting your rosters out with that kind of route, but I think LeBron's a great pay-up option. If you, you know, told me who would you pay up for after Russell Westbrook, it would be probably LeBron James. Again, I said, like I said, I liked Andre Drummond, but I do like LeBron James a lot too. I think he's a really good option. He's a guy I want to pay up for sure on this slate. So like him, got to have exposure to him, I think, on this slate for sure. It's a good matchup and whatnot. Like him a lot. Other than that, though, like Kevin Love, I don't know. I get it. He could obviously have a big shooting night. He could easily get hot from downtown, but I'm not going to mess with that. His rebounds are obviously going to go down with Tristan Thompson in there. At least you would assume they would. Last game, he ended up having 13 rebounds, right? Even though Tristan Thompson was in there. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't think I need to mess around with Kevin Love on this slate. But if I'm not playing, if I have money and I'm not playing Tristan Thompson, like I don't have LeBron, I get if you want to go Kevin Love to get exposure to this game, right? Because someone's going to get some points. So I understand if you would want to do that. Well, J.R. Smith had this random massive game against the Pistons. He's 3,500. I know there was no D. Wade. He had 23 real life points, 4 steals, 34 fantasy points on FanDuel. If the shot's falling short, it's going to go in, but he's not going to get those steals every time. Like, it's just that was an outlier game. I'm not going to mess with that. If you need a cheap one in a tournament, don't expect that again. Maybe he gets you like, a 16 or a 20, and maybe it helped you jam the studs, but I don't think you need to mess around with that. Other than that though, I don't know. It's mainly like the core guys, like Isaiah Thomas. I don't hate too. I think he's a fine play. I know his defense is terrible, but he's only still 6,200, and when he's putting up the ball and if it's going in, he's going to keep shooting up and up the ball. So I don't hate him, but it's really my main targets are LeBron and Tristan Thompson for me. And Isaiah Thomas, I guess I'll put him as my number three if I had to pick.
Yeah, I Kevin Love, by the way, put up 40 fantasy points in 25 minutes the last time they faced each other. So certainly, if he gets a full allotment of minutes, I'm sure that he'll absolutely smash here too. I wouldn't mind going like LeBron and Love in tournaments, man, just pairing the two up, I think that's not a bad way to go. And IT2 is going to have to find his rhythm and stay consistent eventually, right? And he's still pretty underpriced. So I want to play IT2 here. I think in tournaments, he's a nice route to go. I don't think we're forced into it. 6,100 on DraftKings is a nice price tag for him. 62 on FanDuel. So it's like in that mid-range. If you want to get IT2 in there in tournaments, I think it's a good idea. But, yeah, anyone else in this game you want to mention?
No, that's about it. I do think if like you play IT2 in a tournament, I don't know if I would play LeBron with him. It just seems like they negatively correlate each other. Sure, at that price tag, I think you play them both in like your cash games. But I do think there's a little bit of negative correlation there. I don't know. I just temper my expectations in tournaments of doing IT2 and LeBron together. Again, could be wrong. It's like a small sample and we're still trying to learn this situation, but that's kind of my first read on it.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we move on to the last game of the slate and most boring game of the slate and, not really interested kind of game of the slate, but it's we've got the Sacramento Kings against the Spurs. Two guys, two teams I really hardly ever target, and the pace is going to be way down. 193 is the game total with the Spurs being 10-point home favorites. We know that Kawhi is out. Travis, is this like a snooze fest or what?
Speak for yourself. I actually don't hate this on a 4-game slate, right? It's not terrible. You have Duante Murray, or I don't know how you say his name. Duante Murray, I don't know. But I like him a lot, and he's going against the Kings. I know he's getting priced up, but he's the starter. Tony Parker handed the keys to him, and he's been really good since he started. I like him a lot in this spot. I think he's a really interesting option for sure. Play the point guard. He's a guy I would definitely want to get exposure to on this slate. Don't forget about LaMarcus Aldridge, right? He's seeing this massive usage. He's another guy that you can pay up for that. Maybe he's nice and contrarian, right? I just don't see people being like, yeah, I want to pay up for LaMarcus Aldridge against the Kings. I don't think people will do that. So I get it could be contrarian in tournaments. I probably won't take that route. I think there's other routes I'm already going at my power forward position. So I don't think that's the route I'm going, but it's just kind of want to mention it, right? This is a guy that just sees a ton of usage, and we've seen him at massive fantasy games. And it's like he's going up against the Kings, and the Kings are not good. I believe he played them pretty recently and had a big game. He had a 48.9 fantasy performance. So yeah, I would not be sleeping on him, right? So on the Spurs side of the ball, that's mainly how I'd look. Even Kyle Anderson, don't hate what he's been doing. He's been pretty productive. Has a couple stinkers here and there, but he's shown some ceiling recently. So don't hate him at the small forward position. Think he's an interesting guy you can mix in there. So I said, even Pau Gasol, right? Like, we don't also hate like targeting the Kings against centers. So I don't mind mixing and matching these Spurs again because it's a 4-game slate. Murray's probably my favorite target if I had to pick, though. Like, that would be the guy I'm looking at the most. Going to the Kings side of the ball. No Willie Cauley signed, so that makes me want to have some interest in like these Kings big men. What are we going to do? There's talks of Scala BCA being showcased for trade, but like I think this is like now going to be the Scal show. This is going to be his time to really shine. Again, the Spurs is really not the matchup for it. I'm very scared about that. I could even see them maybe just rolling Zebo out there more and him getting a ton of run just because you know they might want to just like keep. Temper Scal's expectations against a tough Spurs team and just put out like the crafty veteran to bang down low with like a Pau Gasol, you know, and a, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge. So maybe they don't run Scal as much, but I think Scal's a good play. I think Randolph's a decent play just because of no Willie Cauley sign. There's just more production to go around over there. So those are two guys that I think you definitely want to look to target in on this slate. And then if I had to pick anyone else, like at the guard position, you know, I don't hate De'Aaron Fox. I'm not a big fan of targeting the Spurs defensively, but De'Aaron Fox is kind of cheap and he sees a big enough usage. So I don't hate him, but I'd rather play Murray instead. So that's likely what I would do. It's mainly probably those forwards. I think they're very interesting options with Willie Cauley-Stein being out.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Willie Cauley-Stein being out is certainly going to, you know, spread some opportunities. You know, Zebo is the issue. Like, is he going to eat up all these minutes? You know, like he's just like the lingering veteran presence that could just come out and take minutes, you know?
I mean, yeah, but I'm sure he is going to. The way the Kings are operating is they're sitting two veterans a night. So I'm assuming the veterans that'll sit in this game will be George Hill and Vince Carter. That makes the most sense because they're going to be thinned down low. So they're going to need to play Zebo and Kosta Kufis, at least in this game, until maybe they find help or something or they try and figure it out. I don't know if they recalled anyone up. So be on the lookout for that. Maybe, I don't know if like a guy like a, I don't know about this Jack Cooley guy or Papa Giannis, but maybe one of these guys get called up eventually. I don't think in this game, but yeah, I just think they're going to need these two guys in the spot. So I think it's mainly going to be those veterans that play on the front court, and that's obviously going to give us interest in maybe some of these other guys in the backcourt because you know those two other veterans are going to sit. So there's some reasons to like those options. So yeah, that's kind of the route I think I'm going to take. It's mainly those forwards to look at, and kind of going to call it a day with the Kings. But we can't sleep on Willie Cauley-Stein being out there. His production to be had.
Yeah, we also have to keep our eye on Pop. You know, we don't really get Pop tomorrow. If news surfaces that guys are resting early too, then we can make adjustments and some value will open up. So make sure you keep an eye on the news with the Spurs, and we'll keep you updated on Twitter too. But yeah, anyone else in this game that you want to mention?
No, I think that's about it for me on this game. Yeah, it's not as bad of a game because of the value that's opened up and you're getting new starters. On paper, it looks gross, but yeah, it's definitely not the best game on the slate. But again, I think there's opportunities to be had in that game.
All right, so that's it. We covered the slate for you guys. Nice small four game Sunday slate. Happy to be back with you guys on Sundays. Right now, we're going to move to the lock and load segment of the show. So, Travis, you have a lock and load in the chamber ready to go?
No, not I mean, I have one, but he's like, it's just too easy and too lame. So do you have one ready to go? Maybe you can go ahead of me.
Oh yeah, I do. I'm locking in Kyle Lowry, man. You know, I feel like he's going to get overlooked on this slate. I feel like recency bias is going to keep people off, but the matchup is just too good. The price tag is very juicy, under 8K on both sites. I'm going to lock in Lowry just, you know, for the upside and the ownership and the matchup. You know, I think it's going to be a good bounce back spot here for Lowry, and he's going to really put up a big game. So at home, especially against the Lakers. So for me, it's going to be Kyle Lowry. He's my lock and load play of the slate. Like, obviously, you know, the big guys like Westbrook and LeBron are all good plays. But Lowry is, for me, is going to be the lock and load play.
Okay, so I mean, I think it's obvious that I think it's really obvious that Tristan Thompson is just a guy you want to put in your lineups. It's pretty easy to say that, pretty lame, but I'll give you another one too, right? That's the guy though that like I'd be building. I'm starting my lineups with. When I build my lineups, I like to try and build from the ground up, just because I like to put in those value plays that I really feel secure about or feel strong about. And I think he's like the best value on the slate for sure here. But I'll give you another guy. I think Avery Bradley is interesting. Getting more of a tournament play. I'm a little scared to do it in cash. And again, I'm not playing cash on this slate just because I don't love this slate for it. Maybe someone will change my mind tomorrow as I'm talking to people, but I really think it's just going to be one of those days where I kind of just do tournaments. And yeah, Avery Bradley's really cheap around the industry, coming off four really bad games. I mean, just ugly. But the minutes are there, right? 29, 25, 40, and 26 minutes. And the Cavs are like the cure for all, right? It's like the thing that fixes you. So I think this is a really good spot for Avery Avery Bradley. Let's also not forget, he's got some of his old teammates on the opposite side, right? He's got IT2 over there. He's got Jay Crowder. Maybe he gets up for this game. Gets a little excited, you know, going back and forth with his old teammate, Isaiah Thomas. I could see him covering him a ton. And just, you know, a guy that's like a defensive, known for his defense. Whenever he's going up against, like, you know, a big-time scorer, or, you know, obviously IT2 was a big-time scorer last year, not as much this year because he hasn't really, had that chance. They kind of get up for those games, and he wants to, you know, get excited, and even if he maybe gets some time against LeBron, this is just a game where he's going to want to show up, I think. And J.R. Smith defense is fun to attack, too, and I'm sure Avery Bradley will be having a blast with that. So give me Avery Bradley as my as one of my lock-and-load plays in tournaments, and Tristan Thompson as my cash game lock-and-load play. How's that sound?
It sounds good. You got a lot of guts, kid, locking in Avery Bradley as your lock and load play of the slate.
Yeah, shooting guard's ugly, man. I don't like shooting guard tomorrow, so I'm okay with it. This position's just not that pretty. So unless there's like obvious value that opens up, I think I'm definitely going to be pulling the trigger on it. And it's more exposure to that terrible Cleveland defense, because that's it's not good.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so with that, we locked it up for you guys. Cover the slate. Make sure you follow us both on Twitter, at RealJoshuaGiant. You can follow Travis, at TravisMangone, at Travis, MangoNE. I love interacting with you guys. I'm sure there'll be news that breaks throughout the day because it's a Sunday slate. We always get lots of news on Sunday. And if you're playing the early slate, make sure you check out the content page on RotoGrinders. There'll be plenty of content for you guys there to help you out. Other than that, we'll see you guys next weekend. Both days, Double Dosage Weekend Grind is back. So for my co-hosts, Travis, Mr. Chalk, Mangone, and the Weekend Grind crew here, we'll see you guys next weekend. Peace out, Grinders. I would turn to. Yeah. And learn if you stay a vampire, it will burn you. Yeah. I did it all alone. I said I did it all alone. And even though I was on my own, I still landed in my zone. Back then I was always on the road. Back then I would never answer phones. Back then I would never answer texts. Get checks, yeah, never I was broke. No more Corbellas or Patron. Every single bottle frozen cold. Running this town like Al Capone. Living in the clouds like I'm a drone. My goodness, look at how he's grown. Nowadays he's never even home. He's probably whipping that fancy car somewhere. Back then he never drove. Trust nobody. I used to trust nobody. I used to trust nobody. I used to trust nobody. Yeah, trust nobody. I used to trust nobody. Yeah, nobody. I used to trust nobody. Most of the social, I make them go crazy. Hands coming out, always looking for saving. Say it's a shame, but I got no change. And tell me a thing that you've done for me lately. Used to have beef, but now it's all gravy. Rinse and repeat, lifestyle crazy. Got no complaining, stayed in my lane. And this is the way that karma has paid me. I got it, I'm wavy. No way to replace me. One of a kind, the grind is in line. This money is mine for the taking. Speakers are shaking. Dreams are awakened. One of a kind, the grind is in line. The summer is mine for the taking. Only trust the fan. I only trust the fam. Nowadays you say the wrong shit. It all ends up on Instagram. Everybody wanna be known for something. And that's probably the path that leads to their own destruction. And I don't know instructions, I don't know the rules. Instead of self-combusting, I just keep it cool. So the lesson is, or the message is, to be somebody, you gotta trust nobody. Trust nobody. I used to trust nobody. Trust nobody. I used to trust nobody. Yeah, trust nobody. I used to trust nobody. Yeah, nobody. I used to trust nobody.